In John chapter 9, Jesus, we hear this story about a man who was blind from birth, and Jesus heals him. And the problem is that when the day that Jesus healed him was a Sabbath. And so the religious leaders are really unhappy that Jesus has done this on the Sabbath. So they call this blind man before them, and they begin to interrogate him about Jesus. And here's what it says, John chapter 19, verse 15. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. All right. Jesus heals a guy, and the religious leaders don't like it. They call Jesus in front of them, and they say, who is this Jesus? They want to ask him a theological question. And Jesus says, hey, you know what? I don't know much about this guy, but you're asking me, is he from God or not from God? And he says, I was blind, and now I see. I think that's a good thing. I think he's a prophet. I think he is from God. And the religious leaders don't like this answer. They think the blind guy is probably faking it. This is some kind of hoax. So they send him away. They call his parents. They interrogate his parents. Has he really been blind? The parents say, yes, he's been blind from birth. The neighbors know it. His friends know it. He's never been able to see until this encounter with Jesus. So they send the parents away, and they call the blind man back in front of them again. And they interrogate him for a second time. Here it is, John 9, verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. The Pharisees and religious leaders claim to know that Jesus is a sinner, that he's not from God. And so they are interrogating the man who's been healed. And what they want to do is they want to have a theological discussion with him. They want to have a philosophical discussion with him. And he simply says, hey guys, here's what I know. And you're asking me all these questions, and there's a whole lot of things I don't know about this guy, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. I mean, you want to argue all this? I can't argue with that. They're the religious leaders. They're the biblical scholars. He can't engage in a biblical argument like they can. He just says, but here's what I do know. I was blind, and I encountered Jesus, and now I see. And what is their response to him simply sharing, I was blind, but now I see? How do they argue against that? What do? They say, well, you're a poo-poo head. Get out of here. I mean, they have nothing. They don't have anything to argue with. So they insult him and they throw him out of the room. So when we're in a series right now, if you haven't been with us, about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. And when we share the good news of what God is doing in Jesus Christ with others, they will often have questions. And some of them will have questions because they're curious. Some people will have questions because they are argumentative. But when we share the good news of Jesus and people ask questions, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because we want people to begin asking questions about Jesus. And here's what you need to know. When they begin to ask you questions, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. As we said last week, all of us, by faith, trusting God, need to be able to simply present the good news of Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life in a kingdom ruled by God. We all need to be able to share the good news in whatever simple, broken way that we can. We all need to tell people how they come into a right relationship with God by turning from a life that's about them and surrendering to Jesus Christ and following Jesus. We all need to be able to share the good news of God. We need to trust that God's going to give us what we need to share that for those of us who are following Christ, filled with his Spirit. But when it comes to answering all the questions that people might ask, biblically, philosophically, theologically, you don't have to have all the answers. In that moment when people begin to ask you questions, that's a great opportunity to say to them, hey, why don't we go talk to my pastor? I love that. Why don't we go talk to my small group leader? Why don't we go talk to somebody that you know that has a mature faith, and let's go talk to them. Let's begin to sit down and have some discussions around Jesus. Great, you don't have to have all the answers. But before you say, let's go talk to my pastor, my small group leader, before you say that, I want to encourage you to say, I don't have all the answers to that, but I was blind and now I see. I can't answer all your questions, but can I share with you my story that I encountered Jesus, and out of that encounter with Jesus, I now have been changed and that I'm no longer the same. Can I share with you this story? Because that story is powerful. Your story is powerful. Your story is unique. You are an expert in your story. Nobody can tell your story better than you. And your story will be used by God to open up people to the reality of who Christ is. Your story witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Tell your story. I love it when we read in scripture in Mark chapter 5. There's a man who is filled with all these demons. And Jesus throws out all the demons. And it says in verse 18 of Mark 5, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. What did this man know? This man's been possessed by demons for years. And Jesus says, hey, you're not coming with me. You're going. And so he goes into the city and he just begins to tell his story. He's not a theologian. He's not a biblical scholar. He's not an expert in apologetics. He just has this story where I was possessed by demons. I met a man. He cast out those demons and now I am free. And he goes and he simply begins to tell the story. Jesus encounters a woman at a well who's had multiple relationships and found satisfaction in none of those relationships. And she comes to the well looking for water, but Jesus says, what you're really looking for is the water that I would offer to you, a water that would bring satisfaction in life that you're not going to find in any relationship. And he tells her about her whole life. And then he sends her away to tell the story. And it says in John chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Now, there's a whole backstory to this, but a woman's testimony. Back in that day, a woman's testimony wasn't reliable in court, but here it is. This woman's testimony is powerful. People began to believe. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. What was that woman's testimony? Did you hear it? She gave it. He told me everything I did. He told me everything I did. Six words. He told me everything. That was her testimony. I encountered this man. He told me everything I did. And somehow in this encounter with Jesus, I came to believe that he is life, and I began to find life in him. He told me everything I did. Was the blind man a biblical scholar? Was the demon-possessed man an expert in apologetics? Was the woman at the well an expert in philosophy? The answer is no to all those things. What they were experts in was their own story, and they shared their story, and in sharing their story, it was powerful. There is power in your story. There's power in your story, and your story is meant to be shared. Brandy's story is meant to be shared, right? We know there are people, and if you don't know somebody who lived a piece of this story, make more friends. Brandy's story needs to be shared, and it is powerful, and it is transformative. We need to share our story. I told Reagan this week, I was like, this sermon's not complicated. Share your story. So there you go. Share your story. I could go on and on, but I don't think I need to. Your story, your unique story is powerful. So instead of going on and on, I want this week to give you homework on this, because there are a lot of Sundays when you guys come in here and you listen to the sermon and you go, that was a good sermon, Jeff, really enjoyed it. And then honestly, what do? I know. Nothing really happens. That's not this week right here. This week is different. All right, you're coming. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to write down your story this week. And your story is going to have three parts, just like all these stories we just read in the Bible. My life before Jesus, my encounter with Jesus, and my life after Jesus. Now, for some of you, when you write down your story, it might be the story of the moment that you met Jesus for the first time. Awesome. You encountered him and how your life has been changed. For some of you, when you write down your story, it's going to be about an encounter you had with Jesus after you were saved. You came to know Jesus, but you had this moment where you encountered Christ in a new way, and Christ delivered you or healed you or set you free or changed your perspective or did something in some way. So I want to encourage you, just pray and say, Holy Spirit, I just want to write down one of my stories this week that begins with what I was like before this encounter with Jesus, what happened in this encounter with Jesus, and what my life is now like today. I want you to do that and be able to share it in 3 to 5 minutes, all right? Write down your story, share it to be so that it could be shared in 3 to 5 minutes. Some of you are going, I could never share my story in 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, you could. We just got to kind of bring it down. What you want to do is leave people wanting more. You want to leave. It's okay if after you've shared your story with somebody else that they begin to ask questions. That's all right. We want to leave people wanting more, but we want to be able to share our story, something God has done in our lives in some beautiful, powerful way. Brandy had a longer version of this story, all right? There was a longer version. Y'all got the short version of this story, and some of y'all have questions, and that's a good thing. She would love to visit with you and share more of her story with you. I would encourage you, write your story down. 3 to 5 minutes. And share it with somebody else this week. Share it with somebody else this week. If you've got kids, make them listen. They need to hear your stories. If your kids don't roll their eyes when you tell your testimony, you hadn't told it enough, right? You tell them again. Their eyes ought to roll every time you tell your story. Tell it again. Tell it to a friend. Say, hey, my pastor said I have to share my story with somebody this week. Share your story with somebody this week. And if you don't have anybody to share it with me. Just write it down, email it to me. I would love to read your story this week. 3 to 5 minutes, please. I would love to read your story. Here it is. 3 to 5 minutes. My life before Jesus, my encounter with Jesus, what it's like today. Now, here's what you're going to discover when you do this. When you try to write your story, you're going to discover that you have multiple stories. You don't have one story. We did a lot of testimonies in here in church, and most of what I did for people who were going to share their testimony is I helped them tell one story instead of 15. For most of them sent me a really long that would have lasted 30 or 45 minutes. I said, okay, you're telling too many stories. I just want you to tell one story. And as you try to write something down, you're going to discover you've got lots of different stories. But if you will write one story down, it's going to help you share every other story that you have. I have a story about God transforming my marriage. I was selfish and not being the person that God had called me to be. And because of that, I was releasing death and dysfunction and pain into my marriage. And my wife submitted her life to Jesus Christ in a fresh way and simply chose to be who God called her to be. And then she began to love me in a way that embodied Christ's love for me. And Christ opened my eyes. And because he opened my eyes, I began to love my wife the way God called me to love my wife. And I have a marriage today I could have never dreamed of before that had happened and encountered Christ in that way. I've got a story about finances. There was a time in my life when I thought I was pretty good. My relationship with money was good. And then God asked Susan and I to give away far more money than I was comfortable giving away. And we chose to trust what Jesus called us to do in that moment. And I discovered in that moment that I was depending on money in some ways that was unhealthy. And I was relying on money for some security. And I wasn't quite sure I trusted God with my checkbook. And yet we trusted God, and God freed us in some ways that has allowed us a relationship with money where there's not the worry or the anxiety about our future and what we do with money. And God freed us out of that to have a positive relationship with that. I've got a testimony about people pleasing, because the thing I struggle with is living to please people. And when I was a pastor living to please people, it was not a very fun job. People were mad all the time, and I was experiencing anxiousness, and the job wasn't any fun, and it was heavy. And there came a day when I surrendered to Jesus in a little playground behind the church, and I just cried for 2 or 3 hours. And in that moment of tears in the playground behind the church, Jesus said to me, "Jeff, if you will put your head down at night and look up at me and ask if I'm pleased with you, if you will do that, that will be enough." And that moment with Jesus on the playground transformed my ministry. So that I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've watched so many pastors burn out and fall out. And I love what I do today. I love what I do today. I delight and enjoy this privilege that I have of being your pastor. And it's because Jesus met me on a playground 25 years ago and said, "Jeff, just look at me." Now, I gave y'all 3 stories in like 3 minutes right there, right? I've got a lot more. I could keep going. And the beautiful thing is, when we learn to tell our story, "God, here's what my life was like, and then I encountered Christ, and now this," we were preparing to tell every story of our life. And your story is powerful, and people need to hear your story. Some of you have stories that are like crazy. You know, like you were in a rock band and on drugs and they found you in a back alley. All right, that's good. Some of y'all have got like crazy stories. It would make a great Netflix special, right? And some of your stories are like, you know, more like a Hallmark movie. You know, it doesn't seem that exciting. No offense to Hallmark movies. But your story, when told authentically, is powerful. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a sensational story. The Holy Spirit just needs your story. And when you tell your story and your story is authentic to your life, how can anybody argue with that? They can argue about the Bible. They can argue about theology. They can argue about philosophy. But what do you do when Terry Gallimore lives such faith in life when he struggles with his heart issues and stuff that's gone on? And then I watch that man live. And he can say, "Because of Jesus Christ, I wake up every day receiving life as a gift." And you see his peace and his joy. And you see how he pushes into other people. How do you argue? You might not agree with him on the Bible, but you can. I mean, how do you argue with that? About somebody's life that's been changed by the power of Jesus. Your story is powerful. And so I just want to ask you this week, it's really simple. Write one story down. Some of y'all are going to get started and you're going to write 2 or 3. Good for you. Write one story down of how you've encountered Jesus and share that one story with somebody. And when you do this, God's going to begin to open your eyes as you sit with people. Y'all know how many times I've been sitting with people who were struggling in their marriage, and I've been able to share the story of my wife loving me when I was not being the man God called me to be. I've shared that story hundreds of times. And it matters. Because your story of how God worked in you was not supposed to end with you. When God didn't just deliver Brandy, did he? No, God's delivering Brandy so that more people might be delivered through Brandy. God healed you. God restored you. God changed your perspective. God gave you life so that through you, life and blessing could flow. You were not meant to be the end of your story. Your story is now meant to be shared. And if you will trust God to simply share your story, God will take it and use it in powerful ways. to change destinies. You have a story that nobody can argue against, and you're the expert in telling your story. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the ways in which you have worked in our lives. Lord, every one of us, our stories are different. They're not the same. And yet we all have stories. And it's been a while since some of us have told our story. And so, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us because I believe there have probably been opportunities to share. You create opportunities. Our eyes just need to be opened. And our eyes are open when we're prepared. And so, Lord, as we write down our stories this week, prepare us to share. Give us a passion and a heart to tell our story to somebody else so that they might stand amazed at Jesus and begin to ask questions and to be drawn to him. Lord, through us, let your life and blessing flow to the world. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.